This is Lean Local with your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is where we try to keep the conversation grounded in what's actually happening here in Green Bay, what people are living with, what practical progress should we be taking. I'm Jim Schmidt. I'm your host for this episode. And this is, we got a very interesting guest who I've been trying to get on our show for the last year. And it's Jennifer Grant. She is the District 1 older person. You always say alderman? Older person, because that's the proper term. Older person in the Green Bay area on for the Common Council. For those of you, District 1 is kind of the whole UWGB, Nicolet Drive.
Redsmith.
Oh, yeah, Redsmith is big there. That's a lot of development there. But we're going to get to all that stuff. you just won another term.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool. Third term.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about why. I mean, because there's a lot that needs to happen. And I'm not sure everyone thinks a lot is happening, but there's, you got a great district. Mm-hmm. I mean, the incomes are good. The Redsmith is just a great area there. So let me just ask, what motivated you to run for a third term?
I think, you know, what I originally ran for changed. You know, I originally ran to get involved. We had developments out in that area, and a lot of residents were concerned that the representative wasn't going to represent them when it came time to vote for it.
Right.
But now I'm rerunning because, you know, once you get involved, it's hard to, there's things I still want to accomplish. Wow. And so, yeah, I think it's just to keep continuing doing the work that I've started.
So when you ran, and I remember when you ran, is to just do good things, right? Do better. So is your perspective changed? Is it more focused? Is it, you're a very nice person. Everybody knows that part. Have you gotten hardened a little bit along the way? Or tell me how your perspective, you know, 6 years is a long time to quite the learning curve, but you know, you're there, obviously they reelected you. Is it changed your role in your eyes and Jennifer's eyes?
I don't think so. I think what's really neat about the role, and I think anything you go into, even like a new job, you go in with the mindset of what it's going to be like, and then things come at you that you're like, no, this is a problem, and I didn't know about that. So I would say, you know, I wanted to get more involved and be a voice for our residents, yeah. But along the way, I've learned a lot, like our infrastructure needs with fire stations and, you know, even things people don't talk about with like sex trafficking. We passed an ordinance helping regulate spas doing illicit activities.
Right.
So I think it's just, it hasn't changed me, but I guess when you learn along the way things that are happening that you weren't aware of, I think you just pivot and try to handle what you can and better it.
So in your district, I'm going to get to the whole overall city because you're responsible for that too, mm-hmm. but you're elected by your district, 9,000 yep. people or something that live out there. What do you think is the strongest, that's the word I'm looking for, I think, the strongest issue out there? Like people coalesce around certain things. When I was there, which was all that tree cutting along Nicolet Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's still the big issue or because I read about you a little bit and there's development issues.
Yes.
And I think you took a stand. I'm not sure you got everything you wanted out of it, but what are the issues in District 1 that seems to be, if you knock on doors, it's a common thread?
I think a big thing, yes, is development. There's a lot of open space out there, especially by Redsmith, and just making sure we're bringing in development that the residents can be happy with. But also taxes, because we live in an area with higher values, when the reassessments happened, a lot of people's taxes went up. My own taxes went up $1,000 in 1 year. So we, as a council, voted to do reassessments every 5 years so that it wasn't such a big hit to people if the market was changing. And with big infrastructure needs coming up, we are going to have to bond for the fire station and the police station and things like that. So I think something that is very important this next term that I want to really look into is our budget and make sure that when we pass this budget in fall that we're keeping all these things in mind because another reassessment is going to be happening in 2027.
Mm-hmm. Reassessments, though, technically shouldn't raise your taxes.
No, but the market is on the upswing, especially yeah. with residential. Now, one thing that is different than last time, because of COVID, commercial values actually went down.
Right.
So the shift happened, but the money at the end of the day, the budget's the budget and the money has to come from somewhere. So a lot of that shift did kind of go over to residential. I think we will see the shift back. The commercial is picking back up. So it could help people. But I do know, you know, what my house was assessed at 5 years ago, it's higher now. The mill rate, though, does determine, obviously, right. Dictate that.
I think a lot of us have experienced an increase in taxes. So I just want to be clear. If you look at your district and you just got done campaigning, so you knocked on, a gazillion doors. The common thread, is it taxes? Is it the development? Is there a common thread? Let me ask you that. Is there a common thread in your district?
Yeah, I think those two things are a big thing, and just making sure their voices are heard. When I was representing my district this last term and I had two major developments, we had a lot of people show up, hours and hours of testimony, and the council didn't necessarily represent that in their vote. So a lot of my residents were very frustrated.
Right.
At the end of the day, I'm one vote out of 12.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, yes, they can only control who they vote for in their district, but they were very frustrated with the outcome of some of those.
So I'm going to jump ahead here because I do have council dynamics and governance down the road. But since we're on that, I don't think people understand when they go to the city council that their one vote isn't everything. You know what I mean? Like there was a guy on the city council when I was on there and he came and saw me. He said, look, how come my ideas aren't getting any traction? I'm like, because you got to build coalition, consensus. But sometimes they don't want to listen. I mean, I read what you said and I read some of the other comments. And how is that working with other members of the council? How have you found that? Has it evolved? Is it better than it was 6 years ago? Is it tougher?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's again, to experience. My first term, I was new. I was taking everything in and learning. Where I think this my second term, I had more time and confidence to get to know other council members. And yeah, I built great relationships. Alder Galvin and I and Alder Johnson, you know, you kind of take more time, I think, in every term that you have on certain things. You know, we just started with the new council. We have four brand new members, so we'll take a little time to get to know them. But yeah, when you have re-elections every 2 years, it doesn't give you necessarily a lot of time to build relationships. So, yeah, I mean, it does. You're able to. It takes time.
Okay, so you brought this up twice. I know. I'll let you say something. You're an advocate for making council terms 3 years versus two. Mm-hmm. You said that before we went on the air. And tell me why you think that's a good idea.
Couple things. Relationships, number one. Campaigns have gotten more expensive and a lot of outside money is starting to control it. But I just think, you know, what people don't realize is it's a 2 year term, but realistically 5 months before the term is up, you're campaigning and it is a lot of work. You're still going to council meetings. You're still going to committee meetings. You're still meeting with residents, neighborhood associations, all while campaigning. So your attention kind of gets divided and kind of sacrificed in some ways. So, you know, there's a lot of projects that take time. A big one that I was an advocate for is the new fire station, getting funding for that. Those things take time. And it's hard when you start this process and I may not be on council when they actually break ground. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to see projects through and have more time to do that.
I got to ask selfishly, and you weren't on the council when we passed it, but term limits. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We just...
We're here to serve our community. It's not a job, a lifetime job.
Right, it's not a career.
And if you take a term off and you go again and get reelected, then your residents wanted you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I just think, and I wish other municipalities would look at that. I wish the county would look at that. I think it's good because sometimes you see these positions where unopposed. And then they don't run and seven people run. It's like, well, wait a minute, where were those seven people? They were still there. They still had good ideas. They were just, in other words, intimidated, but they're like, you know, I just hope that continues. And I'm glad you support that. Mm-hmm. I would never want to see that go back to, you know, 40 years. That's crazy. And so anyway, let's look at the city. You know, 107,000 people, 50 square miles, and, you know, you're 9% of that. any big city issues that have, I want to know what you think the city issues are. Let's do that. And I'm going to ask you if it's changed in the last 6 years.
Obviously, big one, roads. We hear it all the time, infrastructure. Yeah, I guess, what do you mean by big city issues?
I'm taking that, overall, besides your district, right? We talked about your district.
Oh, overall, sorry, I apologize. Yep. Yeah, and like I said, with the infrastructure, I keep talking about the fire station, but that has been something that Alder Eck and I have worked very closely with. So kind of history on that. When we came onto council, there was about $17 million left of ARPA funding. And $10 million of that could be used to anything, no restrictions. And so we came to the council and wanted to designate $9 million of that was left to a new fire station, because we learned when we got elected that we have two stations, station one and three. One is no longer a servicing one, but administration is there. And three, they do service out of. So there was conversation about combining them for costs and everything like that. But getting a new station, they were nearly 100 years old. Foundation issues, flooding, just poor environment for our staff, and the industry is changing. Yeah. We have women firefighters now. They don't have personal space. When we were touring one of the stations, they gave the one female firefighter the bathroom off the kitchen. And, I think we can do better. And there's a lot of studies now with proper cleaning of equipment, separating dirty and clean, having stations where they progress into the station where certain things get left there so that it doesn't cross-contaminate, for lack of better words. Yeah. But, you know, they do have higher risks of cancer and things like that. And mm-hmm. I think we can have updated, you know, ventilation system. There's a lot more technology out there now than there was 80, 90 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a need. So that was the start of it. We realized that the fire department did not have a fire foundation like the police department had. Mm-hmm. So we helped get that started. They were part of the Give Big Green Bay for the past 2 years and was able to raise money for new cadets and stuff like that. So, infrastructure is a big need. The police station has been talked about. City Hall is getting old. I think, and all of that is expensive, all while we're trying to take care of roads that need to happen. Mm-hmm. But I am very excited that we have adopted the new Mill and Pave program. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. So that is going to help take care of roads at a lower cost, quicker. I actually had a road reconstructed or mill and paved in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I actually had a resident that was upset because they were worried that they were going to have construction in front of their house and how long it would take.
Yeah.
I got a call 4 days later how pleased he was with the process. They were already done. Mm-hmm. He was barely inconvenienced, and the road looks beautiful.
Yeah.
So
won't last as long as reconstruction.
Correct.
But it's we.
Yep.
I fought for that. I'm glad. I don't know what changed. Well, I know what changed, and I think that's great. I think that's a good thing you guys are doing. I want to get to social issues, but I want to stay on the construction. You seem to be very focused on infrastructure. The police station.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm not going to use the word embarrassment, but that has not kept up with the times. It just mm-hmm. hasn't kept up. And I know you got some open positions, and I'm not saying it's because we don't have the facilities to support these people, but everybody's like, oh, you know, the Packers, everyone wants to play for the Packers. One of the reasons they want to play for the Packers is because of their facilities. I don't know mm-hmm. if you've been through their locker, their training rooms. It's just unbelievable what they have there. And that helped them with recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Absolutely.
Need, it's, policing's competitive. I want to get back and talk about a couple more of these infrastructure things. I want to get to the social issues. So you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest, in-house Jennifer Grand, Alderperson District 1. Welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local, the show where we do what we say in the title. We lean into what's going on locally here in Green Bay. And I don't want to be critical of other media, but TV just doesn't have the time to have these kind of conversations. I mean, they got, tons of commercials. They got weather. They got sports. And the Press Gazette is, they try, but they only have so much ink, and Gannett does what they want to do. So we like to have these shows on Lean Local. And we just finished up a series with the candidates who are running for office. And Jennifer was reelected to a third term at the city council in District 1. We're going to segue into some small businesses and talk to them. And we're getting businesses on here who have been successful. And businesses who haven't been. And, why in Green Bay did it work? And, what were some of the things that we did? We have a number of things coming up, but today we're talking to you about the city of Green Bay. You've talked a lot about, you know, infrastructure, which obviously is very important for a city, development, roads, fire stations. And we kind of went to break when we were talking about the police station. I wish more would have happened. You know, like you said, you say you need to be there for, you know, 3 years, you know, a few terms. I was there for 16 and didn't get everything done. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get done, you know, and I still, a few things I think were left unfinished. One of them being police is so important, and you know that.
Yeah.
I don't think they've got the facilities they deserve. I mean, we're the third largest city, and we've been around for, you know, 175 years. And I think, was that 63, 64, that thing was built, that building?
It's bad. I've been in it.
So where are you at with that? I mean, do you guys talk about it? I know you looked at buying the Press-Gazette building, which I wasn't a fan of that, but is that where you're going?
We don't know yet. They're assessing what it would cost to do that to see if it's a viable option. So we haven't heard an update yet, but yes, it is being looked into.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not there. I would move City Hall into the Press-Gazette building. It's got kind of a stately look to it, kind of more of a City Hall than that Soviet building that, you know, that was built there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of opportunities for that. Do you have any update on a police station you can share with me or our listeners, or is it just...
I don't. We're still waiting for an update.
Okay. I just...
Yeah, I would love
if
an
someone
update.
As dedicated as you are to infrastructure, yeah. I would hope that would be very, very high mm-hmm. on your list. When we look at Green Bay, and, you know, again, I'm a constituent, but I keep a pretty good pulse on it. And, you know, what are the social issues you want to talk about? I work at a homeless shelter. I work there part-time. I absolutely love it. It's where I belong right now. I raise money for them, which we don't take a lot of government money because government money comes with strings attached, and mm-hmm. we don't like that. We have a program that gets people out of homelessness. We're open 12 months a year. We just have a wonderful organization there. Yet, and the city has helped mm-hmm. a little bit. Is that up there with the city council and what you're talking about is the homelessness? Because it's visible.
Mm-hmm.
Not as visible as bad roads, but it's up there, visibility.
Yep.
I mean, people see that, especially, you know, on Monroe and some other areas. And where are you at with that?
I think it's tough because I think what we're lacking is resources. You know, I've heard feedback. We've volunteered at New Community Shelter to serve, and we've served at St. John's. And I think the hard part is these people need help in a different way, whether it's mental health or addiction, and they don't know where to go. And so I think we need more help on that side. It's not just getting them housing and the problems fixed.
No, absolutely not.
I just think a lot of times it's focused on housing, and it's beyond that. So I really would like to see services increase so that they can get the help that they need and be motivated to, like your shelter does, where they move on to the next steps of eventually going up to an apartment and the new housing that you guys just built. Those are great stepping stones to mm-hmm. get up and out of it and hopefully not see them back.
Well, yeah, and it's goal-driven.
Mm-hmm. It's
amazing what new community, and I'm a very small part of that, and everybody's like, oh, the employees there work so hard. Nobody works harder than the residents. I mean, I'm telling you, I've worked mm-hmm. there and I see it. But from sleeping on a park bench, and they sleep in the slide. I'm like, why do you sleep in the slide? Well, a couple reasons. The animals can't get me because I'm inside. And the police don't really see me if I'm in the slide. I mean, creative. And then, you know, some of them have tried other shelters and, you know, physically abused and things. So they come over to our place, and in 2 years, and you've been there, and I appreciate mm-hmm. you coming and volunteering there. But, you know, think about that. From a park bench, or a park, I should say, and 18 months later, you're paying taxes,
yeah.
you got a job. So it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's one person at a time. If there was a group fix, everybody would do it. But the answer isn't to throw money at it because, like, California, oh, my God. So I just hope that continues to be a priority mm-hmm. because as hard as you work, as hard as the new community shelter works, I don't know why, but I think there's always going to be homeless people. It's just the way God made it, and we can manage it as best we can. And I think, you know, we're doing a really good job of it. And I just, we need a good partner with the city and the county. Mm-hmm. I need to get, somebody just sent in a question here, but I want to do a couple other things. So when we talk about housing, a lot of people talk about affordable housing, and you have built some. But there's market rate housing, and there's some people who want high-end housing, and, you know, those good taxes. What about the affordable housing? That seems to come up a lot when I read your minutes.
We're definitely seeing a lot of it come forward. I think a lot of it right now, it's a way that developers can afford to develop, you know, with that offset cost. So it's definitely coming. I think, and that's something that I'm hearing from residents, is I want to see, we have passed a lot of housing, whether it's, or apartments, whether it's affordable or market rate. But there is also a need for single family homes, or even just different types of homes, condos, townhomes, something that fits for everybody's chapter of their life that they're in. But I've seen comments on Facebook that people are stuck in apartments because they can't get a house. They want a house. They have the money for a house, but they just can't compete. The market is very competitive.
We'll get back to that. I got a couple questions on housing too. All right. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Jennifer Grant, our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we have in-house with us Jennifer Grant, who was elected to her third term here on the Green Bay City Council. And her district is the District 1, which is Red Smith School, Nicolay Drive, UWGB, that whole area, beautiful part of our city. And we're talking about needs there, and then infrastructure throughout the city. Big advocate for a new fire station, and we're talking about the police station and roads. And then housing overall. I want to go back to Red Smith's housing because I know there was an issue there that you really worked on. But so people are living in apartments. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of apartments. Mm-hmm. I'm an old guy that has, I owned my first house when I was 19. I think we need, there's no equity in apartments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're paying, what, $1,200, $1,500?
You can walk away with nothing.
And at the end of the day, so where is that transition to single family? Because single family, there's more financial assistance for apartments than there is for condos, than there is for single family homes.
So correct.
What are you looking at to get more single family homes? Because back in the day, and I'm older than you, but single family homes were plentiful.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to encourage development in them. I think there is a big push for apartments and encouraging developers to come back to the area. We did just pass some zoning amendments that kind of gave a little bit more flexibility within our zoning codes.
For single family?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Yep, like smaller lots, things like that.
Right, that's fine.
We did pass that, was that about 7 months ago? So hopefully that creates a shift. I have heard from developers that they don't make the money in single family homes like they do with apartments. And sometimes they have to put an apartment building up to offset the cost because the roads, the storm, all that they cover. So, yeah.
But I'm just wondering with all these apartments, and it's not just us. I mean, it's, you drive around Greater Green Bay, it's apartments. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing wrong with apartments. I just... But it'd be nice if you say to a developer, you can build these apartments as long as you build 25 single family homes. You know, like give them incentive for both. Because I agree. I mean, everybody knows there's less risk with apartments, you know, especially now. And they're doing right with that. Hey, I want to get back to Red Smith. You kind of led the charge of, I'm not saying anti-development. I think you wanted more single family homes and more... less townhouses or
it was apartments.
Less apartments, more townhouses and single family homes. And,
yes.
That didn't pass with all your effort. Why didn't it pass? Like, I don't say because they had more votes than I did. I know that. I don't. Like, that just made sense when I read it, but I wasn't there. Why didn't it pass?
That's honestly, that is a great question. I don't know. because I think, and that's one thing that I did express, the concerns of the residents were valid. That what I think a lot of people heard is that I was anti-development, but what they didn't realize is it was across the street from a K through 8 school that is very heavily, enrollment is very high, especially with the closure of Wikwiak. Yep. They had about 130 some students come over this year alone, and traffic is busy in the morning. Kids are walking. We want to make sure that area is safe for them.
Absolutely.
It is an R1 zoning. So when people made this investment, they made it in an area that had single family homes. And I think what is amazing about our neighborhood is we are very close knit. You know your neighbors, you look out for each other. We have a group message for just our road alone, and neighbors are constantly saying, hey, can you check this? Is my package on your porch? Everybody talks and looks out for each other. It's amazing.
I would say Gladys Abner, but you don't remember that show. Bewitched had a show, and the lady was always looking out the window. And we have that in my neighborhood. You know,
yeah.
It's just because we've all been there forever, but
there's value,
it's so
in
cool
that.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone, pick up my package, or, yeah, anyway.
Yes, so I think people don't realize that when you buy a home, you are looking at the neighborhood and the dynamic, and you want less busy streets for your kids to run around and play safely. And what was also unique about the development is it is 167 acres. So it's a big area.
Wow.
But what's difficult with it is it's built up to ultimately a cliff bluff that you cannot access for traffic. So about 90% of this traffic is going to have to go to Sussex, which is already a pretty big road. Only two small parts of it went to Scottwood and Church. So the big concern was the flow of the traffic, and that this isn't a normal block where you can access four different points. It's very heavy heading towards the school.
All right, so it passed against your lobbying or your so was there a compromise? Is there some traffic calming things that you're doing over there?
Yeah.
Police? Okay.
We'll look into, yes, I did submit a communication for a traffic study. I wanted them to get a snapshot now so that when the development is done, we can see a clear picture of the increase and to judge if it's a problem, because there hasn't been one. So they did try to do that in fall. They had some recording issues, so they're going to redo it again.
Good. Traffic studies are great.
Yep.
Oh yeah, those, you got it, and they cost a little bit of money, but they're worth it because you really find out, you know, the ebb and flow of traffic and everything else. Two other things that you fought for that maybe you didn't get everything you wanted. You argued for more restraint on the mayor's salary. There was a debate about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of was in the news and then not in the news. Can you anything you want to share with, I don't know, our listeners, with me about what that was all about?
Yeah, they were looking to increase it, and I was okay with the initial increase to 125. It was motioned to increase it to 140,000. The reason I did agree that it should be higher, this is a big sacrifice. I think what people don't necessarily realize is a lot of people that run for mayor have a regular job. They're going to leave their career potentially to run for this role. That's only 4 years guaranteed, and then you have to do it again. And not a lot of people are willing to be in the spotlight and be a public figure like that. So I did agree with the initial increase. It was the second increase that I kind of said, hold on, because I looked at the average income of residents in Green Bay, the median income, and it was much lower, down between 50 to 60,000. So I wanted to make sure that we are being competitive and attracting the right people. But at the end of the day, that salary comes from taxpayer money. So I just wanted to make sure that we were being responsible with that. And again, meet in the middle at that 125, but not make such a major jump when our residents aren't seeing these increases in their wages at their jobs in 1 year. So
what happened? I you think I'd follow that. I mean, you paid me $72,000 just for the record. But there's people that was all personality. It wasn't, I mean, I was doing a good job. But
yeah.
Anyway, what happened? Is it a 4 year, did you guys increase it to 140?
Yes.
Wow. Double what I made, Chris. But anyway, that's fine. I mean, it's the city's the city. And it is a big city, and there's a lot of moving parts to this city.
Absolutely.
I mean, there just are. And I think people, you see what you see, but boy, it's every day there's something. Okay, so I want to get back to the major city issues. We touched on homelessness. And then when we went back to your district, we talked about one of your attractions, and there's a lot out there, you know, but Red Smith is one of them. Mm-hmm. Are you involved in the whole education? I don't want to call it a debate. I think we could be doing better with education. I mm-hmm. think a lot of people say that. And I know that you're not responsible for education. Chicago, you know, that's run by the mayor and the city and a couple other cities, but not many. Do you have a working relationship with the principal, I guess, you know, superintendent?
Yeah, actually I do. Yep, we've emailed on things. I've had residents reach out to me about traffic concerns, people driving fast or not obeying stop signs during mm-hmm. drop-off and pickup. So yes, Willie and I email no problem with each other.
And again, I'm totally understanding that that's not your responsibility, but do you have any suggestions for the Green Bay School District? They're just not tracking like other districts are and some of the other schools. Like, and I'm talking about schools 6 miles away, De Pere, mm-hmm. Wrightstown, Howard. And that concerns me because that's our future workforce mm-hmm. in not a lot of time. 10 years, yeah. Those kids are going to be. I'm just wondering if that's something that's discussed at the council after your 6 years of being on the council, if that's something you guys talk about.
We don't really talk about it. I mean, okay. I have my own personal thoughts, yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Tell me, I want to talk about the council. It's 12 individuals, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, although it seemed like last term, and you know, this is just April, 7th, 6th, you guys were elected, that some people ran as groups. Mm-hmm. That never happened when I was, and I was on the county board too. We liked each other. I had friends that were closer than other people, but I was always hell-bent on waving the nonpartisan flag. Mm-hmm. I mean, you knock on doors and people would ask questions. And it's like, it's all green to me, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be. Tell me about this. Do you feel it's more partisan even in 6 years? I mean, I sure feel it's more partisan than in the last 20 yeah. years, but then I've been around a while now.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, people are campaigning together. It's very different. Yeah.
What's scary about that, in my eyes, is they may vote together. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, wait a minute, I don't think that's a good idea.
Sure, yeah. And I think it creates a divide. It doesn't create a working relationship with each other. It's no different than in high school when you had cliques. Did you yeah. go walk up to a clique that you weren't a part of? It's that mentality and that feeling, unfortunately. And right?
Yeah. Flashbacks. Yeah, okay.
Yes. I
was one of the cool guys. I was a nerd.
Yeah. You know, okay. So does it make it welcoming and friendly? It doesn't invite collaboration?
Yeah. And do you think that's going to change? Because I think people, when you talk to them individually, they would like the nonpartisan, mm-hmm. Can't we all get along? Do you see that happening, not happening?
I think residents need to truly pay attention to those things when they're voting. You know, when these things are right in front of our face, right off the get-go with a campaign, that should alarm people. Because if they're doing it prior, what are they going to do once they're elected? So I would just strongly stress to our residents to pay attention to those things and think about that and actually make that something that matters to them.
So where do you see, though, from the 12 people, where do you see the collaboration working and then where do you see it not working? Are there certain issues? Is it? And sometimes I think you take on issues that aren't relevant to mm-hmm. the city. And I think that's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of money. And I think it's gets your name in the paper for something that, why are we mm-hmm. even talking about that? More of that, less of that. I'm curious about where there is collaboration and you have unanimous votes. And I will tell you, the only unanimous votes I had was to adjourn. So it just, we had a tough time. But, you know, is there things that you feel that you're really coalesced around with both parties, I guess?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I can obviously speak more to last term, and I don't know how this new council is going to work together.
True,
brand new. But no, actually, Alder Johnson worked very closely with me with the Red Smith development because he does have a lot of experience in this. And we worked and communicated with the developers themselves to see if there was compromises or things we could bring forward before it even went to council. And they were great. They were responsive, and they still communicate well with me. But yeah, and even I've talked to Alder Galvin about homelessness. Alder Hinkfist and I speak on things all the time. We're both on finance and personnel. Yeah, it's been great getting to know her.
Yeah.
So yeah, there absolutely has been collaboration and across the aisle talk communication, but also our budget we did pass unanimously. Surprisingly, everyone was shocked. So it does happen, probably more than when you were in, but it absolutely has, a lot of things have passed unanimously.
Oh, that's good. All right, hey, we're going to be right back. I got a couple of things I want to go over. We'll be right back. Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. All right, welcome back to Lean Local. We're going to wrap it up with Jennifer Grant, who is the reelected alderperson, third term, District 1 for the City of Green Bay. A couple things. We talked about the city council working together and, you know, some people ran as a group, but you still, and as great as ideas are, until you get six people, you know, preferably mm-hmm. seven, to make it over the goal line, it just doesn't happen. But let me ask you, I don't want to put you in a lane, but you're more conservative than some other council members.
Sure.
Right?
I think it depends on, the topic, but yes. I mean, I personally have conservative values.
Right. Not sure I want to know about your relationship with the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that working?
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. We had a press conference saying that we are looking for a leader to lead us. I don't have a close relationship with him. You know, I've talked to past council members that said you did a fantastic job contacting aldermen and seeing where they were at on things and communicating about upcoming things. That is not necessarily the case now. So I wish it was. I've heard, great things about that.
Yeah, that's important. I don't think people sometimes understand the governance of government. Mm-hmm. And the mayor isn't the all-powerful Oz either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get nine people that aren't in agreement, they're kind of in control because they can override vetoes. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I never wanted that to happen, and it never did happen. But I was just curious on the that whole communication thing, because that's very critical. Let's talk a little bit about transparency. We've had some people on here from the county board that think they could be doing much better, you know, with the TV and mm-hmm. How do you think the transparency is with the city council and the city government?
I think, having our meetings available online and recorded, mm-hmm. All of that is available. I think right now things are good, unless there's, a specific part to that. I know there was a lot of, when I first got elected, concerns about transparency with even elections. Even the clerk invited me to be on a election board coming up. So she is creating a committee or whatever to get feedback on elections. And I thought that was really great of her. And she invited me to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we'll see how that unfolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The expectations of what should the residents look forward to in the next 2 years? You know how sometimes, it's going to be the same. Is that the way it's going to be? Is it going to be the same in 2 years? Or do you see something like major happening in, why are you laughing about that?
I don't know.
I just, is there anything, I just want to ask you, I mean, you're in the council, do you see things changing, better, worse, or just, I'm just curious as to what we can look forward to.
I don't know, it's really hard to say, just everything has just started out. I don't even really know all the council members yet fully as far as like personalities and relationships.
Right,
so I'm sorry, that's why I'm laughing. And I'm also laughing because there is a mayoral race coming up in a year. So of course things are going to be different over the next year.
You're right, because you're right. Let's not do something for $50 million because you may not be here to see it through. Or mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. That will come up. Let me talk about this is a great city, right? I mm-hmm. mean, that's why you live here. You got kids. You contribute quite a bit to it. Our parks system, I think, is great.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to make any comment? I think I see that you're doing something new in the downtown at Light Park.
The pavilion. And
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think what I love about our parks is I think And not every resident loves this idea, but each park kind of has something unique. We don't make all of our parks the same. And I know sometimes we get complaints on that. Well, why doesn't my park have that? But Green Bay is small enough to travel to different parks if there's something specific you're looking for. Yeah. But a lot of times things are, they come and go, like pickleball. 10 years ago, where was pickleball?
Right.
So I think it's important to not make every park have that, because then that costs money. And what happens when something new comes forward that we have to shift to? So
right.
I do love that every park is unique. You know, we have Joliet Park that is beautiful, right, just to walk and view the sunset.
Totally passive.
It's so different than Redsmith, where you have a splash pad and a hockey rink. So I think it's amazing, and it draws people to different parts of the area to get them out of maybe their neighborhood that they stay in.
And I think there's just so much to be said for parks. And even if you get the busiest city like New York City, they have a great park system. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's one of the reasons they can, well, they just thrive like they do. I'm so glad that you're committed to the parks. What committees do you serve on?
Personnel and finance.
Oh, that's where the money starts. And they're supposed to end.
Yes.
Well, good for you. Any political ambitions? I know you're just reelected third term. You seem to enjoy what you do.
Nope. I mean, I actually have zero political background. This is my first thing I've ever done. I love my career and plan to just serve my time until my residents want me and pass the torch and go back to life.
And hopefully in 3 years, but two, you know, I know you want that 3 year thing, and that's something to really take a good look at. But I think everyone should run for office.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that, and you've heard me say that too many times, because it humbles you.
Yes.
And as I say to my kids, I think everybody should be a waiter or waitress too, because it's just, I mean.
Done that too?
Have you?
Oh, yes.
Cool, so did I. But, the campaign's over right now, and that's good. You can take a breath. But it was probably 90% fun, but that 10% is tough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope, and I know you, so you elect everybody you represent everybody in the district. I mean, you're not going to take care of your people.
No.
You know, and I think that's cool about Green Bay. And if we can get to that, we can get a lot done. I'm excited about it. I just want to thanks for what you're doing. It's nice to hear someone with 6 years of experience. And good luck. We want to have you back. And,
thank you.
You know, keep working that district and the city of Green Bay. So, all right. You've been listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're here with Jennifer Grant. Stick around. We're going to go to the Green Bay Way, which is our own podcast, and just dig a little deeper on a couple other issues, continue the conversation there for a few minutes, and we're going to be, you switch over again, thegreenbayway.com. We will see you there. Thanks for listening.